Welcome to Spiritually Naked, where physical and non-physical worlds collide, offering a refreshing concoction of optimism and realism. It's time to strip down the barriers of limiting beliefs, to master the art of manifestation and synchronized living. Everything you need to live an inspired, awakened life is within your grasp. Start creating the life you desire today with Spiritually Naked as your guide to simplifying complicated issues for real life change. Now here are your hosts, Steve and Stephanie Banks.
Hello everyone, thank you for joining us here tonight on Spiritually Naked. I'm your host, Stephen Banks, and I'm here with my partner and co-host, Stephanie Banks, who in the second portion of our program will channel for us a collective consciousness named Solomon. But first, I'd like to introduce to you our guest that we have with us tonight is David Lowe, and he is the author of Universal Spiritual Philosophy and Practice and is a longtime dream analyst. This is the second time we are having David on the show, and today he is here to discuss with us the topic of dream analysis. Welcome to the show, David. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Steve. It's wonderful to be on. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. And today we're talking about dreams and dream analysis. Now, the first question I would have for you, David, regarding this as a dream interpreter, why are dreams important?
Well, dreams are almost as important as food and water. Everybody dreams every night. All mammals dream. That's been known for a long time. If we're not allowed to dream, if we're woken up during the stages of sleep in which dreams happen, we basically start decompensating and falling apart. So we all dream, and it's a fundamentally important thing to our brain maintenance, although in ways that we don't quite fathom. Yeah, they're important.
So do you find that they're important on a holistic level in terms of emotional, physical, biological, all around the spectrum of being a human being?
Oh, absolutely. I think dreams represent a faculty that everyone has to pick up on personally relevant information from higher levels of reality. We access that through mechanisms which transcend time and space. Okay, so I mean, our thoughts and feelings aren't just in our heads. They inhabit the matrices of higher dimensions, which are like everywhere, right? And those matrices are always interfering with each other. So that's how we pick up information from other emotionally relevant things in our lives. And dreams are also thought by most dream workers to always have sort of an imprint of the body in some aspect, because they're a product of the mind-body complex at some very deep level. So they represent our physical health in some sense quite often. Yeah.
So based on that, then, do you feel that dreams themselves always have, they're always expressing to us something from deeper levels from within? Or do you think that it could possibly just come from the mind, simply something you're thinking about while sleeping?
Most dream workers who are at all spiritually oriented think that the great majority of dreams come in the service of health and wholeness, in the words of Jeremy Taylor, who's a very prominent guy out there. So, but there's most dream workers also think that there's at least a small number of dreams whose cause is primarily biological, connected with an aberration in your sleep cycle or a nutrient imbalance or something like that can contribute to unusual dreams. But most dreams are of essentially a spiritual nature. And that information is always on offer. We just need to pay attention to it.
So in other words, they can, they offer as a tool for us to interpret where we are along our spiritual path. In other words, if we're out of alignment in some way, our dreams are there to help guide us back into alignment with our higher being, with our source connection.
Right. Right. I would say that in my experience and in the experience of all the people that I've worked with, dreams always concern themselves with practical issues in our near future or near long-term future, which we're thinking about or should be thinking about. In terms of choices that we make, the dream implies things about things that we need to think about and suggests an appropriate course of action. They're highly practical most of the time in my experience, in terms of what they are trying to communicate. A dream has many possible meanings, but the most appropriate meaning seems to be about critical things in the person's life that he should be thinking about, or maybe thinking of doing differently, or understanding differently, or something along those lines.
Right. And dreams having such deep, meaningful messages for us in terms of working through our own inner dialogue, why is it then that for many people it is simply difficult to retain the information when they wake up?
And it's a really interesting question, because there's no question that everybody dreams every night. Because if you wake up people who say that they've never dreamed, who say that they never dream, and you wake them up during their rapid eye movement or REM stage of sleep, which many of us have heard of, 90% of those people who say they don't remember dreams will report dreaming. So everybody does dream. I would say overall, you can do things or ritualize your evening, yoga, spiritual reading for the last couple of hours before going to bed. Get the TV out of your bedroom if it's in there. You don't watch TV in the bedroom. Affirmations and having that dream journal right in your nightstand and saying out loud before you go to bed, I will remember my dreams. If you do all that, you're sort of telling God, hey, look, I care, and otherwise just do your spiritual practices and get yourself out of your comfort zone. Do something in your life that will sort of get things circulating and moving around. And so you're likely to get a reaction from your subconscious. You're interested in spiritual growth, dreams should be speaking up for you.
And so do you think that if you were to do something out of your comfort zone, that would increase your chance of remembering your dreams?
Oh, yes, very much so. If you do something that you're uncomfortable doing, then things are likely to be stirred up inside you. And that will likely be reflected in deep psychic activity in the dream world. I would say also another thing people can do quite often, we like remember a dream in the middle of the night. We don't want to get up and get cold and disturb our bedmate by writing it down and so forth. Just rehearse the dream 5 or 6 times in your mind to imprint it in your memory. Rehearse it in your mind a bunch of times, and it'll still be with you in the morning to write down later on.
Or you could just simply write it on your partner's forehead.
Sure. I'm keeping the pens out of the bedroom.
Well, that's a good point, actually. You don't need to write down the whole thing. It's ideally you should write down the whole thing, but that can take forever, So just write down 4 or 5 bullet points of major images or situations, mm-hmm. 2 or 3 words each. And that more often than not, that would be enough to jog your memory. And even if it's not, you can work with those symbols and get a lot out of it.
Right. So talking about symbols here for a minute, when we're writing our dreams, when we decide to make that effort and we decide to implement that as a practice, when we're writing our dreams down, for example, are the emotional aspects of it just as important as the imagery?
Yes, very much so. Right. Very much so. It's images, emotions, feelings. And a symbol can be anything. It can be an image, it can be a feeling, it can be an action, it can be a situation.
A number?
So yeah, everything. As much detail as you can, write it all down.
And so a lot of people...
If you don't get it all down, if you don't get it all down, that's fine. But do your best to write as much down as you can.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I agree completely. And in the middle of the night, even if you just jot down a few words that will help prompt you in the morning to write down the rest, then you might...
Yeah, really, the really important thing is that dialogue with God, with your unconscious, with your subconscious. So 5 minutes to write down bullet points of major images, 5 minutes to think about what the heck they might mean, and then 5 minutes to express your frustrations back. Write an unsent letter to God expressing your frustration. What do you mean by this? Give me another chance. That's the dialogue that we need to keep up with our dreams and our inner self to attune to our spirituality most effectively, I think.
Yeah, and I agree with that completely on so many different levels. I know that when I talk to people about connecting to their guides and loved ones who have passed away, their higher self, whoever, from sort of the unseen world, dreams included, it's about developing communication with with all beings, with your all aspects of yourself, the tools that you right. have to yourself, and developing that communication for clarity's sake.
Yeah. And I want to mention also, you know, people who think that dreams are only neurochemical reactions, or think that dreams are only represent the sifting and sorting of our brains at night and so forth, those theories are also correct on a whole different level of reality. That's like a more empirical, both a purely biological theory can be true along with the spiritual theory being true. They can both be true at the same time because they both occur in different levels of reality. So that's okay. If you are atheistically oriented, you can understand dreams in your own way.
Right, like you say, they're like a multifaceted, right?
Yes, absolutely. Very, totally multifaceted, many possible meanings. Symbols are very, very flexible, profound things, especially the big archetypal ones. They can mean so many different things in the context of the individual dreamer's life. But there are some major general meanings that you do begin to understand if you study them, study mythology and so forth. It takes years to really get a good sense of symbolism in dreams, but it's something which I seem to be able to do and have only really had the ability to do over the last 10 years or so.
So can you give us just even one or two examples of the heavy hitters?
Well, say, for example, falling. Falling seems to be a pretty common experience in dreams.
Right. Now, things like falling, flunking a test, being naked or undressed in public, those kinds of dreams, and there are six or seven other things I could mention. Affair dreams are common. What else? Dreaming of meeting a celebrity. All those things represent different kinds of common psychological dilemmas that people experience in life. So falling out of control, not knowing what you're doing. Undressed in public, you're defensive, you're insincere, you're worrying about what people think about you, and you're probably worrying too much about it. You know, taking a test, am I qualified to do something? Am I really going to be up to this task next month at the office? So all those kinds of things reflect in our dreams. And a lot of those things are pretty common, and you shouldn't worry about them too much. But, of course, the reason even those common dreams happen, we shouldn't be so insincere. We shouldn't be so out of control. So, yeah, it's common dreams like that. They're important, too.
Right. And so when you're working with someone in terms of interpreting their dreams for them, do you ask them prior to hearing the dream kind of what's going on in their life? Like, are those kinds of things imperative for you to know and understand? Or is it just, like you say, a general idea? And then you work through with them.
Yeah, it's totally imperative to know as much about the person as I can. Only the basics. By basics, I mean, you know, age, occupation, marital relationship configuration, family status, and interests and problems, major interests and major issues in the person's life. That gives me enough information to do 9/10 as well if I knew them very, very well.
Right.
But that basic information is crucial.
Yeah, I thought that it might be.
Yeah, because, of course, you know, the same symbol will mean different things. It'll tend to mean, if it's one of the big archetypal symbols, such as water or an animal of some kind, such as an eagle or something like that, it will tend to mean roughly the same thing to different people, but the context is so different with each person that meaning is often pretty different the way it's actually expressed.
Right. So when you're working with people then, so when they give you an image, for example, you probably then you must have a series of questions that would relate, that might pull out information relating to that symbol.
Yeah. Yeah. What they think of it on the conscious level, offhanded things that they would associate it with, things that tied the past times in their lives when they have seen something similar to that. The main thing about dream work, probably the single most important thing to remember about dream work is that mistaken literalism is the biggest problem. When you see something in a dream, it doesn't represent the thing itself. Sometimes it can, but rarely. It represents that aspect of yourself, which is expressed as that thing. So if you see, if you have a dream in which you dream of your friend, right? It's not your friend. It is that aspect of you which your friend represents.
Right.
Okay. So what would your friend be about? What part of yourself would your friend equate to if you had him in your dream?
Right. So you really have to look at these dreams as you're analyzing them for yourself very objectively, I suppose.
Yeah. And everything in a dream is an aspect of the dreamer. So an automobile or a car, there's always a journey aspect to having a car, right, in a dream, because the car moves from one place to another. In what sense is the dreamer on a journey? Is it a marriage? Is it a graduate school career? Is it his whole life? Is it getting over a particular issue? You know, with his mother getting angry at him, he's still pissed about it 10 years later, 15 years later, he's going to finally clear it up. That journey is what the car could be referring to. But it's always a journey of some kind. You have to look at the context of the person's particular life to figure out what journey it's referring to exactly.
Right.
Yeah. And then the destination where you, if you get somewhere in your car or vehicle or airplane or whatever your mode of transportation is, where it stayed,
right.
Where it led you, where it's showing you potentially to go.
Right. Yeah. And also, you know, the particular mode of transportation tends to have common meanings to it. So an aircraft, for example, will tend to be associated with spirituality, profound view of high things, perspective, things like that. Whereas a subway will often be associated with organizational things, structures, governments, procedures. You see what I mean? Because those things have different associations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for you, David, getting into dream analysis, did you discover something profound about yourself through dream analysis that made you decide that this is something very important and that you wanted to help others deal with?
Yeah, I mean, dreams play an important part in everybody's spiritual life, but some people more so than, I would say 9 out of 10 people can get something in their dreams if they really take an interest in them. But for some of us, they are especially important. In my case, the major initiation I got from my primary spiritual teacher blasted me wide open. I began having all kinds of different dreams that I didn't have before that point. But, you know, other people that I've worked with also have those kinds of dreams, even though they never found gurus. So, and in my case, there are two or three major entities who do show up repeatedly, although often not for a while, to say or impart important things. I call them my angels. They don't show up as angels. They show up as normal people, but they are the same people over and over again.
Right.
And so after I got that initiation, and again, you don't have to get an initiation from gurus to start having big dreams. I've been working with people who have dreams just as big as mine have been without having met gurus or anything like that. But in my case, it was initiation that got this really going. So, one dream I had, for example, very, very, probably the single most important dream in my life was only 3 seconds long. It was an audio dream, just sound, nothing else. I was thinking about getting involved with a certain woman about 35 years ago. And so I had a dream, just two things in it. That woman nagging and a baby squalling.
That would make anyone wake up and run.
that told me everything. And my life would be totally different if I hadn't heeded that dream.
Yeah, so they can be quite practical.
My life would be totally different.
Yeah. Wow.
What about repetitive dreams? Like, I remember when I was younger, I remembered all of my dreams. And I went through a phase in my early 20s where I dreamt about plane crashes. And then all of a sudden, plane crashes happening in the news. Like, there was a TWA plane that went down, and then there was this plane that went down. Do you find that there's any... I don't know what the word is. I guess psychic
precognition.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Okay. The most important kinds of dreams are recurring dreams and nightmares, because they're trying to get a message through which in some way you're ignoring. So a lot of people do have, of course, we all have this similar issues which persist throughout our life, which we always need to be paying attention to and addressing. But sometimes we let those long-term issues slip from our sight. We don't pay as much attention to those things as we should. And so a recurring dream speaks up again. Remember, don't forget this situation. Remember. But nightmares are unpleasant precisely to get your attention about something. That's the only reason they're unpleasant. I mean, understanding them spiritually. They're unpleasant for one reason, to get your attention. Hello, stupid. Do something about this. You know, so recurring dreams and nightmares, you're not paying attention. You are doing your best to ignore some important things, or you're not paying it, cannot paying quite as much attention to something that you should be paying attention to.
Right.
Is the overall thing there. I would say.
But what about if you have, I'll just give you a really quick example here. When I was 24, I was, in my bed asleep, and the phone rang in the middle of the night, and I went stumbling down to it, and it was my mom. But as I was answering the phone, I was remembering this dream, and all I could remember was this church, St. Joseph's. And the phone call, long story short, was my best friend had been killed in a car accident. And by the time I got home...
Yeah, that was in your book, right?
It was. It was very profound for me, because the dream showed me where her funeral ended up being. But what would be the purpose of me knowing that information? There's nothing I could do about it. She'd already been killed.
Yeah. The only purpose of a dream like that is its implication that there is a higher reality, that you are being watched over, and to have faith in it. I mean, dreams happen. Many dreams happen to us not so we can get any explicit thing out of them by way of practical knowledge, but just as a kind of reassurance or an indication or a heads up that, yeah, we are being looked out after, or there are higher forces. We should be paying more attention to our spirituality. So that happened to reassure you or to let you know that you did know that at one level, and therefore things turned out just as they were meant to.
Right.
And that there are connections in higher reality. We can pick up on stuff and maybe start working on those things in the future, so that you don't need to have dreams like that afterwards to tell you.
Well, and then after my near-death experience and everything sort of changed for me and started to come into light, and I started to understand a lot more about myself and about who we are and our connections and all of the rest of it, I realized that I think what happened in that dream was that was my first communication with Katie. I think Katie was part of that dream.
Yeah, sure. You know, when people pass on, I think that we all don't have the same amount of power. Some spirits have more powers than others for whatever set of reasons. And, you know, those kinds of close connections do transcend time and space. And there are often, you know, dreams which indicate directly or indirectly just to tell us, hey, I'm here. Don't worry about it. We'll always be together. Mm-hmm. I think that's a message of those kinds of dreams for the most part.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's beautiful. I think it's a really beautiful way to connect with people that have passed away.
It is. It's true. And when this was going on and Stephanie was writing her book and we were talking a lot about it, I felt that there was a possibility that she was actually in the church when she had such a vivid memory of the church itself. I wondered if it was kind of like an astral projection and actually was there.
Yeah. Well, this is the, reality is funny. And, there are, if you look at what they say in quantum mechanics about consciousness and about how there are all these infinite higher dimensions and so forth, of course, the term astral projection refers to an intentional effort to lie down and do these various relaxation techniques and to leave your body and float around and so forth. That doesn't tend to be a very fulfilling thing for most people who try it after a while, but yeah, it could be, especially powerful dreams. You can think of that way if you'd like.
Well, that was just intuitively, that's what I intuitively felt when she had told me that.
What about, this is sort of a weird off the wall question, but what about dream catchers? I know some people have dream catchers above their bed.
Right, right. Those are, believe it, that is, there are like something like one or two tribes who actually use those as ritual objects. They are largely a creation of the tourist industry. But the dream catchers, of course, I mean, I don't remember which tribe it was, but the idea is, you know, you want to, when you do a ritual before bedtime, to create conditions of sacred sleep leading up to time when you lie down, solemnly affirm that you will remember a dream. And like, you've done all these ritual things leading up to this. You can do this. There are retreats you can go on where you focus on the notion of sacred sleep to get a message, you know. And so along with that, along with those external measures with your body and your mind, and you actually go somewhere, pay a fee to lie down in a certain room and so forth, there are ritual objects which you take with you. And so along with your lighted candles and so forth, you would look at your dream catcher in some way and it is a net, as it were. You are casting a net with your own desire and your own willingness to grow spiritually and to do things more effectively in your life. And the dream catcher, and you know, the actual dream catcher, you know, what do you call that little thing? The actual dream catcher object is that net. And yeah, I suppose you wave it around or maybe you do some ritual thing with it. But yeah, it's just those kinds of ritual objects are important.
Yeah. And so I guess it just doesn't matter what the object is, really. It just comes down to your belief in it and your connection with it.
Yeah, our intention can set up possibilities, endless possibilities, really, for any experience with any object, as I've found. But David, we're out of time for this portion of the program. Would you like to have any last words to our audience regarding your services as a dream analyst and where they can find you?
Yeah, I have a website, David Lowe, MSPhD, David Lowe, no E, Amazon. David Lowe, no E, M as in masters, David Lowe, MSPhD.com. David@worldspirituality.com is the email. I do dream analysis, spiritual counseling, meditation instruction. All that can be by the phone, but primarily dream work over the phone. Yeah, so we can work over the phone if anyone would like to. David Lowe, MSPhD.com. And my book, Universal Spirituality, Universal Spiritual Philosophy and Practice, which you will see on the website.
Right, yeah, and we encourage everyone to check that out and to check out your website, your wealth of knowledge, and it's always a pleasure having you on the radio and your wealth of information for us all.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, David. Well, everyone out there, stay tuned, and we'll be back with David and Solomon.
It is our pleasure to be here with you in this time, in this space of your current reality. We come to you through a mutual agreement of creating a life that you desire, creating an understanding of the life that you desire, creating an understanding of the life that you are living. We come to you as a confidant, so to speak, for you to confide in, for you to express yourselves to, for you to refer to us as a means to communicate directly with all of creation, with source creation, with your higher being, with all that is, so to speak. We enjoy these communications. We come to you with a mutual love and respect for you. And we would like to take a moment to say thank you for your communications and your trust in us. We understand that today the topic of conversation is dreams, understanding your dreams, the connotation behind dreams, the usefulness of dreams. We would like to invite you to put forth any questions or queries that you may have on this subject, and we will be happy to appease your curiosities.
Thank you for being here with us tonight, Solomon. One of my... I've been hearing a lot about dream analysis. We're speaking with David Lowe tonight, and he's a dream analyst, and we've had other friends who were analyzing dreams and made it a point to really express the importance of dialoguing with our dreams and documenting and trying to understand them. What could you say about that process?
Well, first of all, we would like to acknowledge David and the others in your reality, in your world, that have made it a point of coming into this lifetime for the purpose of serving the tool of dreams to others by allowing themselves to learn and understand the idea of this tool and technique for the purpose of sharing it with others. We would like to congratulate you on your journey thus far, and we encourage you to keep moving forward on your journey. Keep moving forward in your understanding and your collecting of data and information that will lead you to an even heightened, more heightened state of awareness on dreams and the beauty of them. Many of you choose to delve into the idea of analyzing your dreams for the purpose of understanding your current life. And we acknowledge the importance of this. For some of you, it is not so imperative. For others, it is more imperative. That is an individual choice that is up to each and every one of you to determine when and how dreams are important to you. There is no right or wrong in this idea. This is the same for any tool and technique that is available to you as a human being.
Right. So essentially, if you're something you're thinking about, then you should probably follow that.
If you desire to.
Yes. There's one, I understand that dreams are usually pretty mysterious. And I think that, they're mysterious for a reason. I think my understanding is that we have to do our part as individual souls on earth. We have to do our part by, God doesn't spoon feed us stuff for nothing. We need to put forth effort of our own to fathom them. So I'm wondering, the average person who knows, really wants to understand his dreams, but knows nothing about it and has nowhere to turn, what should he do? What are some general things which the average person can do?
Call someone like you. Yes?
Yes.
Is this not true for all facets of being a human being? If you don't know how to take care of your plumbing in your house, you call a plumber. If you don't know how to take care of the electrical work in your house, you call an electrician, somebody who has the expertise and the knowledge. And of course, there needs to be a resonant between the person and the practitioner, the person and the plumber, the person and the electrician. There needs to be a understanding of trust and a certain degree of universal love connection between them. Especially when you are talking about something so intimate as dream analysis, as understanding aspects about yourself that run much deeper than the idea of being a human being. Therefore, for somebody who's looking for some clarity, looking for some insight, looking for some knowledge on what their dreams are trying to represent to them, but they have no idea where to start, the first thing we always suggest above all else is to seek clarity within first, to seek clarity even in who and where and when to call someone in for assistance, should that be the course of direction that they end up choosing, through the form of meditation, through the form of journaling, through the form of expressing yourself vocally through music, through the means of art, whatever medium appeals to you that works for you in terms of gaining insight as to which direction to go. But ultimately, in the end, the idea is to find some way, somehow, of understanding what your dreams are presenting to you, if that is a course of direction you would like to take.
Right. And so for those of us who would like to take that course, one thing that I know is common, because I've experienced it myself, is the lack of remembrance. Now, like David said, there's some things you can do, some tools and techniques in terms of calling on that remembrance. Is there anything you could add to that?
There is oftentimes a purpose behind not remembering. In other words, not everything is meant to be remembered. There are two stages, let's say, to this question. The idea of not remembering does not mean that there isn't healing going on somewhere on some level just by having the dream. In other words, the dream doesn't necessarily need to be remembered in order to create some form of healing. However, when one decides that they would prefer to remember the dream, this is the intuitive self, the innate self, the higher self, initiating a conversation with their higher self saying, okay, I am ready. I would like to know more now. I would like to understand more now. I am ready for more now. This is where the dialogue begins. This is where the heightened state of awareness starts. And this is where more information will then begin to filter into the conscious mind, allowing for the interpretation on a grander scale, a deeper healing, a more conscious awareness. Does this make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yes. Would it be true to say that repetitive dreams and nightmares would be especially important? There are some dreams seem to be meant to get our attention. I mentioned that to sort of underscore for any listeners how important it is if they do have nightmares or recurring dreams. It may be important to pay attention to them.
Yes, of course. This is the same for signs and symbols that come your way during your awakened state. Those signs and symbols will become stronger and stronger and stronger, oftentimes resulting in illness or disease or discomfort within the physical body as a sign to the human being saying something is out of alignment, something needs to be addressed, awareness needs to be, there needs to be some form of awareness on a particular topic of your life. In other words, there will be an underlying issue that is trying to address itself. The same is true when in a dream state. If there is a recurring dream, if there is a recurring theme, if there is a, let's use the word nightmare, for that is the term that you will understand, there is an issue within the soul self, the spiritual self, that is asking and calling for to be acknowledged, for awareness to be brought to it. When the acknowledgement is disregarded, that dream will become stronger and stronger and stronger and become more frequent, more frequent, more frequent, and sometimes taking a slightly different form, trying to represent itself to the person in need from a different perspective. Does this make sense?
Absolutely.
Yes. And so I think that there's no such thing as a bad dream in that regard. Would you agree with that, Steve?
Oh, absolutely.
There is no such thing as a bad dream, a bad experience, a bad circumstance, a bad situation, period, from the level that we are coming to you from. However, from the idea of a human being, there is a distinction between a good and bad experience, a good and bad dream, for the purpose of understanding from a human level which direction you would prefer to go, yes?
Yes. Yeah, that sounds very good. I stand modified and corrected on that one. So dreams are really important. And I have always wanted to promote people's that we should take more interest in them. I think most people could benefit more from paying attention to their dreams than they do. And that this will become a more important topic in the future. I certainly hope so.
Yeah, so we would encourage you in your own practice to move away from certain words, i.e. nightmares. Nightmares will create a certain connotation within the human mind that creates the idea of fear, in which case a person may be more inclined to resist bringing that dream back into their nighttime slumber. In other words, the human being can, in fact, on a certain level, disregard the dream to the point that the dream may stop. And in replace of the dream may be a stronger and more prominent message from a different avenue. In other words, the dream may stop coming through as the dream, the nightmare may stop coming through as the nightmare, but something else will take its place. Is this making sense?
Right, like in physical form, like an ailment or something along this nature?
Right. Yes.
Something more material, something will materialize, will crystallize. Because the human being that is experiencing the nightmare on a conscious level, understanding that they're having these nightmares, will push it away, telling the higher self, in a sense, telling the universal guidance, in a sense, that I'm okay with whatever you're trying to show me. I'm okay. Bring it on. Yes. So we would encourage in terms of vocabulary to refrain from using words such as nightmares, because it does create a certain amount of fear, and rather develop a new word for yourself that works as a replacement for the idea of a nightmare, but a more encouraging word. In other words, invite those dreams to come forth to show you with clarity what it is that you need to see. Yes?
Great. Good idea. Thank you.
Yes. You're welcome.
So in terms of dreaming itself, Solomon, I understand that everybody dreams and it's absolutely imperative to our health. Is that a true aspect of humanity?
Everything that you do in life is imperative to your health. So dreams are not excluded from this. Dreams are more in the idea of a tool and a technique that is there for the disposal of the human being to be able to create a healthy emotional state of being, a healthy mental state of being, which will result in a healthy physical being, through the idea of understanding what the signs and symbols within the dream are representing to that particular person. Just because a sign and symbol shows up for you doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to have the same meaning for the next person, the next person, the next person, the next person. There will be certain themes within a symbol, within an idea, within a situation, within a material object that shows up within a dream, but that does not necessarily mean that it will be the same for everyone.
And, I have a question about just so to, as sort of a heads up to a lot of people out there who may have certain kinds of dreams. I think, is it true that people can should be aware that perhaps as a result of social and political things happening in the world that we dream certain kinds of dreams because those things are manifesting in our larger social reality? And therefore not to be terribly upset about them if they have dreams of that nature.
Dreams can be representative of a very individual aspect of oneself, but more often than not, they are representing the global community as a whole. In other words, when there are political dreams, when there are environmental dreams, where there are dreams that seem to be all-encompassing as opposed to an individual incident, an individual feeling, an individual circumstance, that dream is more representative of a collective energetic vibration that has manifested on the planet that you cannot help but be a part of. Is this what you mean?
Is this... Yes.
In other words, there is a collective energetic vibration at all times on the planet that is representing a whole facade of information. So just because one may have a dream that seems to have a very negative connotation, this does not necessarily mean that it is representative solely of that particular individual. It could be, however, an indication to that particular individual of a particular movement that is happening on the planet that is more concerning to them than another incident that is happening on the planet. Is this making sense?
Right. Something that's a little more, that's going to affect them or is affecting them on some level.
That they have a stronger heartfelt connection to.
Right.
This does not necessarily need to be a negative experience that is happening on the world, in the planet. It could be something that they are very passionate towards, something very passionate about, perhaps a particular country that is drawing them, that is showing themselves to them in the dream. This is me. This is the country that you're connecting with. Perhaps there is something there to explore. Perhaps there is a reason for that country, that city, that place, that town, that person in that town showing up in their dream for the purpose of aligning that individual with that particular place, circumstance, person. Yes?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's a marker, like it's just basically another breadcrumb
journey. In other words, it's an introduction.
Right, right. So one last question, Solomon. I'm curious about, ever since Stephanie told me about her dream that she had about Katie's, where she was in the church, that Katie had eventually had her funeral memorial at, I intuitively thought that she may have actually have been there in terms of like astral travel. Is that a possibility, or was she just dreaming precognition? Can you explain a little bit about that kind of activity?
She wasn't there to the degree that you are implying, okay. Yet she was experiencing the feeling of that church with her friend Kate that had passed away. Kate had already passed away, but Katie had chosen to acknowledge her death to her friend prior to anyone else. In other words, she wanted to be the one to deliver the news.
Right.
The memory of that isn't apparent to Stephanie. However, the feeling of it is. There was a feeling of humbleness, let's say, prior to the information being delivered. In other words, it wasn't such a powerful blow, although it seemed like it at the time, than it could have been had the dream not occurred, had Katie not come to her in her dream.
I understand.
Do we have time for one more question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. If you dream, Solomon, if a person dreams of Atlantis or Lemuria or some other reality which may or may not have existed on the Earth in the past, that is, people can take that perhaps as being indicative of more of a spiritual reality or sort of spiritual state of mind or a representation of beauty and love and joy than necessarily a real physical place. Would that be accurate? I'm not sure whether those places existed or even if it matters whether they existed or not.
It could be that, yes. It could be a direct connection to those places. It could be a direct connection to information that had filtered into that person's experience as a human being in this time, understanding what they understand and what they believe about those places, bringing forth a feeling of that experience, bringing forth a remembrance of what could have been, what may have been. Often dreams of past experiences are directly related to specific past lives that did in fact exist. There is the idea of understanding your entire history, let's say, of being a human being on the planet Earth through the remembrance of your dreams. So aside from the idea of understanding your dreams for very practical purposes, understanding your dreams for the purpose of understanding your past lives will in fact bring you into awareness from a different level that will translate into practical purposes, yes? So getting to the practicality of where you're at in your life now, the choices that you make now, the direction that you've chosen to go and will continue to go based on practical choices is in fact influenced by your past life history. So bringing awareness to those past lives through your dream state brings awareness to the characteristics and the choices to a certain degree that you're making now in this particular lifetime. Yes, does this make sense?
Yes, very much. Thank you.
Yes. We would like to thank you for this opportunity, and we look forward to our next opportunity to discuss dreams. This is one of our favorite conversations of all time. For when you think about it, really, does it not feel like you are dreaming right now? Yes?
Yeah, I guess it kind of does. Yes.
We look forward to our next exchange.
Thank you, Solomon.
Thank you, Solomon. Sure.
Wow, that was pretty cool that they said that. I was thinking at first they were like, okay, well, I guess you could talk about this topic, and then all of a sudden it's their favorite topic.
Yeah. Well, it's a really powerful point at the end there.
Really powerful point.
Yeah, I'm always blown away by how succinctly and beautifully these things are expressed by Solomon. I mean, more so, to say that much in so little space. It's extraordinary.
Well, I guess they realize that they don't have a lot of time, so they have to be very thoughtful. And
they are masterful communicators, that is for sure.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah. I asked at one point, I can't remember if it was verbally or through writing or whatever it was, but I asked them, why is it that I can try to regurgitate something that you're teaching us and have it be impactful, but not quite as powerful and on point as when you would deliver the same information. And the answer, or at least in part, was that it's how the words are structured together and the vibration that they carry in the way that they've chosen to structure the sentences.
Right.
Is that how that went?
Yeah, I can't remember. But yeah, it had a lot to do with stringing. It had all to do with vibration.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
In order for us to absorb the fullness available within the idea. Well, I'm sorry to say, but we're out of time for today, guys. Thank you so much for being here with us, David.
This has been a wonderful conversation. I love you both, and we'll do it again. We'll definitely set something up to do dreams in the future with other people, I hope.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Absolutely, yeah. And thank you to our audience for being here with us tonight. Tune in 2 weeks as we'll have with us another amazing guest. For those of you who'd like to learn more about Stephanie and Solomon, or to book your own private or group Solomon session, go to our website at stephanie-banks.com. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel at solomonlive.com. Thanks again, everyone, and have an amazing week.